You're listening to 3 in 30 Takeaways for Moms, episode 26. How to praise your child when it feels like there is nothing to praise. Welcome to 3 in 30, a podcast for moms who want to create more meaning in motherhood. Each 30-minute episode will feature three doable takeaways for you to try at home with your family this week. I'm your host, Rachel Nielsen. Thank you so much for being here. Before I had children, I pictured days spent at home with them surrounded by a rose-colored glow. We would read books and giggle together. We would bake and play outside. And my voice would be that of a sing-songy Disney princess, uttering happy words of encouragement and love all the time. Fast forward 7 years, and our life is a little different than I had imagined. Yes, we do read books together, laugh together, and play outside, but life is certainly not surrounded by a rose-colored glow all the time, and perhaps the thing that is most different from my visions of motherhood and my actual motherhood is the way I talk to my children. I wouldn't say I'm a huge yeller, though it certainly happens on occasion, but I often feel like all I'm doing is nagging. And do Disney princesses nag? Seriously, moms who are listening, do you feel me on this one? Sometimes it really does feel like I'm just giving commands that my kids are ignoring, nagging them to do what I've asked, and doling out punishments all day long. And when I think about this from my children's point of view, I can't imagine how annoying I must be to them. If someone was nagging me all day, I wouldn't listen to them either. But my kids make me do it, right? What else am I supposed to say to them when their behavior doesn't deserve praise? How do I turn around this tide of negativity in our home? Today on the podcast, I'm thrilled that we have an expert guest on to teach us how to find positive things to say to our kids, even when it seems like there's nothing to praise. His name is Tony Overbay, and he's a licensed marriage and family counselor with a busy private practice in Roseville, California. He's created some powerful online programs for healing, which he will tell us about, as well as a really cool podcast called The Virtual Couch, where you can get free advice from a professional counselor right into your earbuds every week. And perhaps most importantly, Tony is a father himself of four children, ranging in age from 20 down to 14. So he's been and continues to be in the real life trenches of parenthood. So he's going to help us merge his professional training on parenting and his personal experience with parenting on today's episode. So I'm so honored to welcome Tony Overbay to 3 in 30 podcast. Good morning, Tony.
Hey, Rachel, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so glad that we're finally doing this interview after corresponding for a few months.
It's been great. And I have to tell you, that wasn't very fair to have funny things that you were saying in your intro, and I can't chime in. And I thought, you know, does she want to hear me snort while during the intro? And so I hit mute on my mic, but you got two snorts during the intro. I just want you to know that for the record.
Oh, good. That's good to know. So yeah. I wanted to tell the listeners that when you reached out to me a couple of months ago and asked if I ever have male guests on the show.
Yeah.
And would I consider having a male on? And at the time I said, I've never had a male, but we'll certainly have you on. But then I remembered that I did have my 89-year-old grandpa come on the podcast already. So you're not the first male, but you're in very good company because my grandpa is amazing. So two
I'm
awesome men.
I'm happy to follow your grandpa. Yeah. That's right. Thank you.
So I've been listening to your podcast over the last few months and loving it and gaining lots of insight into myself and my parenting. One of the things that I've heard you talk about is a parenting approach called nurtured heart parenting.
You bet. The nurtured heart approach. Yeah.
The nurtured heart approach. Okay. And that you've talked about how it's been effective for you with your own kids. And I think that it could be really helpful for any listeners who have found themselves in the scenario like I described at the beginning. So sure. I just wanted to dive right in and have you tell us about the nurtured heart approach.
You bet. And I already feel bad if come with some of these things, if people have heard me speak before. There's a couple of kind of go-to bits that I love to share about this. And one of them is I went to a training. This was when I was a shiny new therapist. I still had that new therapist smell on me. And I'm at a training, and I don't even really know what the training is going to be about. But you had to get these hours in toward getting your license. And I'm sitting there, and I've got a pencil in hand, or probably a pen and a notebook. And a woman comes up to me. She's like, "Man, look at you. I can tell you're ready to learn." And I thought, oh, I like her. You know, she gets it. She acknowledges me, you know. And so then she gets up front. And then at some point she says, "Hey, how many of you did I come tell how awesome you are? And you look like you're all ready." And I just get deflated because I'm like, man, I got played, you know, at this
like,
training.
She told everyone that.
Well, the funny part was that she's like, she basically went through a handful of people and did that. "Oh, I can see you look ready and attentive. And I bet you're going to learn so much, and you must care about your practice." And I'm like, "Yeah." And then she's like, "How many of you did I just come up and say, 'Hey, nice job,' you know?" And a couple people kind of half raised their hand. And she was just kind of pointing that out of how we're so driven to respond to this acknowledgement and this recognition of things that are more than just, "Hey, good job, buddy," you know, and then how with that setup, how I really was thinking, "Oh, I'm ready," you know, and I was kind of buying into it too. It's like, "You're darn right, I'm ready." When in reality, I think I had my pen and my notebook so that I could doodle because I was worried about being bored. And so, but she had me locked in. So that was my first introduction to the nurtured heart approach. And then I remember she referenced the book that's kind of the, you know, the go-to book. And it's called Transforming the Difficult Child, the Nurtured Heart Approach. So this is something that is it's an approach that's used in school systems. There's some pretty neat evidence-based research around it. So I took away from that training that it's a really solid kind of a basis to operate from a parenting standpoint. So I immediately tried to implement that at home. And it was extremely effective.
Yeah. So it sounds like, I mean, there's a whole book on it, which I'll definitely link. But just give us a quick overview. Like, what exactly is it? Like, what would you say in a nutshell nurtured heart approach is?
It's refusing to fall into traps of negativity. And it's basically, you know, seizing every single opportunity to fuel success. I mean, it's purposely kind of strategically, intentionally, energizing and nurturing success. And so the concept here, and I remember when I was in grad school to be a therapist, and I remember before, and I thought it was more pop psychology where you would hear this concept of, you know, where people want acknowledgement or attention, whether it be positive or negative. And I remember at my core thinking, nobody really wants to, you know, negative attention. And there was a time where I can remember coming home, and at this point, everybody's pretty young, I think. And I come home, and I think even the dogs were busy. Nobody greets me at the door. I'm coming in all excited, and my kids are all doing homework or something, and nobody's paying attention to me. And I make my way over to my wife, and she's got like all kinds of stuff going on and on the counter and making dinner and all this stuff. And she's not paying any attention. So then I start poking, you know, picking things out of pans to eat. And I think I probably, you know, kind of, I don't know, grabbed her shoulders or something. And finally she turned around, she's like, "What?" You know, and I realized, wow, I mean, I wanted anything. I mean, I just wanted that attention. And I thought, I guess that's me looking for anything, be it positive or negative. And it kind of was a bit of an epiphany.
Yeah. I mean, here you are you're an adult and you're willing to be a little annoying to get attention.
Oh, I was super annoying. Like, I mean, I probably knocked kids' pencils out of their hand and, you know, whatever. I was super annoying. So yeah. And so that was kind of an epiphany. So nurtured heart approach then says that we know that is the case, then we want to take every opportunity we can to just fuel success with our kids. So it really is literally finding everything that we can to acknowledge, but it can't be hollow praise. So at that first training I went to, I remember getting a handout that was 4 or 5 pages long, single space, 2 columns. It was all the things you can say instead of "good job." You know, if you're just like, "Hey, good job, buddy," you know, that's really not, that's not fueling or energizing success. So, you know, so the first thing is refusing to fall into the trap of feeding this negativity. So typically under the nurtured heart approach, we talk about our kids know what our buttons are. They know how to press our buttons. They know how they know where our buttons are, and they even know how to get us to hold them right out in front of our kids and say, "Press these." And it has this concept where we're our kid's favorite toy. Our kids know that when they press these buttons, we light up. You know, we kind of can go crazy and they see us just go nuts. And so, you know, so we're learning to kind of hide our buttons, and we're learning how to, so we're not going to, you know, feed into the negativity. And as a matter of fact, we're going to find positive things to kind of acknowledge in pretty much any situation. And there's another kind of key concept before we get too deep that is, it's almost, it's called video game parenting in a sense, not in the negative video game connotation, but if you look at why we liked playing video games, it's because, you know, we're kind of going along. I always think of Mario because I'm an old man now, but you're playing a Mario game. And then when your character dies, then he's right back in the game. So, you know, and if you're enjoying the game, then as soon as there's something that happens that's negative, we want to get you right back in the game, because the more you're in the game, the more opportunities there are for you to praise and nurture this success. Yeah. So
rather than like, you know, dwelling on the negative, harping on it, yeah, punishing, nagging, lecturing, which is keeping them in the negative, yep, keeping them out of the game, basically, you want to get them right back into the game, headed a positive direction by giving them as much of this recognition and acknowledgement as you can. Is that correct?
It's absolutely correct. And I know, you know, this is that part where I worry that sometimes parents, you know, their heads explode because it's like, oh, am I just saying that you let them get away with, you know, all kinds of things and they can burn the house down, and you say, hey, I appreciate the way you lit that match. You know, that looked very confident, you know? So it's not that. I mean, there are consequences and you know, that sort of thing.
Well, and I really like how you've been using the words recognition and acknowledgement, even more than praise. You know, I feel like that's a shift for me, because I think I need to praise my kids and compliment them.
I like that. Yeah.
Whereas you're saying, sometimes you just need to recognize them and acknowledge what they're doing well without even adding the praise. It's just recognizing and acknowledging.
That's a great point.
Which we're going to get into here. So Tony has four strategies that he's learned from this nurtured heart approach of specific ways to praise, encourage, recognize, acknowledge, however you want to word that.
Yeah.
Your kids, when you really feel like there's nothing that you can praise them for.
Right.
These are strategies that you can use to find something to say to them that's positive so that they can keep going in that positive direction. I sort of thought about like Newton's first law of like objects in motion stay in motion, you know? So it's like, if you can get them going in a positive direction, like they'll continue going that way. But if you're always staying in the negative, then that's where you're going to stay as well.
Absolutely.
So why don't we dive in? So we're actually going to give you four takeaways today, not just three. He's going to give these four strategies of how specific kind of templates that you can use for how to recognize your kids in a meaningful way.
The first one is called, and they call it, the Nurtured Heart's been around for a little while. So they have metaphors, or they have these so Kodak moments. That's what they call them. So Kodak moment is what's considered active recognition. This is kind of at the foundational level, just acknowledging your kid. It doesn't have to be anything of real depth, and it's not just a good job, but it's a, you know, hey, I see you have your book out and you're doing your homework. I mean, that's it. I mean, already, and I'll tell you, here's where I'm going to throw my therapist card out on the table. I work with so many teenagers who say, I don't even know if my parents recognize me. You know, I don't even know if they even care that I'm around. They're so caught up in their own lives or whatever. And I've talked to a lot of parents who say, you know, I don't know how to talk with my kid, or if I see my kid doing something, I don't want to interrupt him or bother him. And so one of the first things I would love from a takeaway standpoint is just this active recognition comment. So it's, you know, hey, I see you're doing your homework, or hey, look at you taking your shoes off when you walk in the door, or, and, you know, just any of these things, you know.
And that's what that teacher did for you,
yeah,
at that class,
yes,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
She said, look at you with your notebook out and your pencils ready to learn or whatever. And you're like, oh, she recognized me and acknowledged me. And you kind of perked up in your seat, and it changed you from feeling bored to feeling like more excited to learn.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm telling you, if that's just the place you start right now, that is a great place to start, because you'll notice that. I mean, you're right. That's what happened to me in that training, and it feels good. And if we do a nice little functional brain scan at the moment, we're going to see, you know, little neural pathways of the brain open up and little synapses fire up. And it just feels nice to be acknowledged without anything negative coming after it.
So that is a Kodak moment, because you're simply describing what you see. So if a mom is struggling to know how to praise her kid effectively, it's like, just look at what they're doing, and not when they're misbehaving,
right,
but like in a neutral moment, and comment on what you see. That is a recognition.
Yeah, look at you coming out of your room, you know, or you know, whatever it is. Hey, you're home from school. Or I know it sounds silly, but it's a base. It's somewhere to start, which is a good thing. So then that one kind of leads into this next one, which is that it's called in the Nurtured Heart verbiage a Polaroid moment. And they do have, you know, these are kind of camera related. But Polaroid moment, and that's more of an experiential recognition. So the Polaroid moments are, you have that observation of a fact. So it's still kind of that active recognition. But then you're also kind of speaking to, in the Nurtured Heart speak, what you say is you're speaking about what, you know, what that says about that person's greatness. You're building on the active recognition. And this is the part where, and I love how they put this in Nurtured Heart, this technique sends messages of worth, and it starts to rewrite the child's portfolio of who they are. So, and I have a very personal example of this. When I came home from that training, I remember this well, two of my daughters doing homework together at a table. And, you know, I normally might have just walked by, either because I didn't acknowledge, or number two, I still feel like there's that thing where if I would have stopped and said, look at you guys, and all of a sudden they're going to, oh, when's dinner? Can I have a drink? You know, and it's all of a sudden, you know, I almost feel like a lot of parenting is, if they're doing their thing, I am not going to interrupt that. But so the experience, and I think I remember we had a toy room, and when my kids were little, if they were playing together nice, I'm sneaking by because, you know, that's a rare moment, you know, and I don't want to interrupt that. But so experiential recognition says, and I remember this time well, where I said, you know, hey, look at you helping her with her homework. I mean, that's so impressive. And that shows me just how close you guys are. And they both looked up and you know, it was almost like, whoa, what just happened there? And so then the part where I almost feel bad was, you know, a couple days later, I walked by a similar, oh no, they weren't doing homework together. They weren't fighting or anything. So that was a plus. But then when they see dad come in, it was almost like they quick, you know, who's got a math book and where's some paper and let's do that again. And it was like, literally they ran to each other to kind of be doing something together. And that was, it almost broke my heart, because it meant that praise meant so much to them. And I'm not a mean guy. So, I mean, it's not like I'm usually running through there and, you know, everybody get out of my way, you know, that kind of thing. But it was like, that meant so much for them to just get that. Wow. You know, I was.
And you're like, you guys don't have to just be doing homework to get that kind of praise from me.
Exactly.
Like, I can do this in other settings to just describe what I see and then add the characteristic that shows about that child. That's what experiential recognition is.
Yeah. I mean, so it's you're acknowledging something positive, you know, and then you're kind of speaking to that character trait that they might not even be aware of. And it's pretty wild too. There's that concept of self-fulfilling prophecy, where the more we're kind of energizing our kids with success and pointing out these characteristics of integrity, the more that they'll start to own those. So, and this is where I just feel like this entire dynamic, you know, this paradigm shift of communication with our kids, it's bigger than we even recognize. And can I just slip in another quick Nurtured Heart concept here? So in the Nurtured Heart approach, you lay out very clear, there are very clear consequences to things, but the best time to now do that is when the waters are calm, I like to say, and I even love to jokingly say, you know, grab a night, family night, you know, and you get brownies cooking, something that's going to like just be lingering in the air. And then you come up with the family rules, and you do lovingly manipulate this situation to where your kids are the ones that are coming up with consequences. You know, if we don't do our homework, or if we're on our phone too long or whatever, what do you think would be a fair consequence? So the kids come up with that. And then now guess what you get to do? You get to acknowledge that, man, I love these consequences that you guys just came up with. And that shows me that you really care about what, you know, how to bring some unity or peace into our family. And then you post these things on the fridge or whatever it is. And so now there are these rules that they kind of came up with. And so now you become the person that when they do something, you're not the, I can't believe you did that. You know, you're grounded. It's a, oh man, I'm bummed that, you know, you chose to do this because, you know, now we've got that consequence that we agreed on that you came up with that I was so impressed with. And that's the moment where you see the kid go, wait a minute, are they telling me they're, you know, it's like, it's this cognitive dissonance for a kid where I'm used to you yelling at me and telling me to go to my room, not like, oh man, you know.
You came up with a great consequence exactly, right? That you're now going to have to face.
And so then and it's even better. So then when the, whatever the consequence is, then when they come out of that consequence, then you get to go like, man, I'm so glad that, you know, you did that well, you consequenced well, now you're back into the game. And cause I missed you, you know, and I mean, it's so funny to first watch like a kid go, what just happened? I just got praised, you know, for coming out of the consequence. I mean, I don't know what this is happening here, but it's such a good thing and it's a complete paradigm shift. I just wanted to kind of throw that out there. Yeah.
I'm sure that using this kind of language at first is unnatural, easier.
Yeah.
To figure out how to say, because when you said at the end of the family meeting, you say, wow, you guys came up with some great rules. That shows that you're really invested in your family. I'm like, whoa, I would never think to say that.
I know.
You know,
Rachel,
but I'm sure it becomes a habit the more that you practice and practice and practice.
You know, it's funny you say that. And the reason I'm kind of laughing is, I do this every day, all day. It's my soapbox stuff, passionate, whether I'm talking about couples communication or parenting or whatever. And you're right. I know that I will have clients leave and I'm on it, you know, and then they get in that moment and it's difficult or it doesn't come as natural, but you're right. It practice, there's nothing wrong with even getting together with your spouse or on your own and writing out a little bit of a script to make sure you get your points across. And you don't have to be perfect at all, man. You don't have to be perfect at it.
I would even say writing a few of these phrases down.
I totally agree.
And putting them like on your fridge or somewhere. Like I see that you are doing this I notice, I appreciate, or whatever, just to give you little prompts to practice speaking this way. And then it becomes more and more natural, I'm sure.
No, but I'm glad you brought that up because, somebody might leave this podcast going, oh, I'm on it. And then they get there in their kid. I'm happy that you are nice because nice is good. And then that's okay, you know, moving in the right direction.
And especially when they're little, I think you can say really awkward things and they don't even really know. So starting to practice when they're young with this, when you might be kind of awkward at it, is good. Because if you approached your teenager and said, I see that you're being nice and I love that you're nice, you're a nice kid. Like they'd be like, what are you saying?
They're like, I get it. I'm nice. You know, move on. Right.
If you said that, if I said that to my 7-year-old, he'd be like, thanks, mom. Or he'd just kind of look at me bewildered and run off. Like he wouldn't think I was super awkward.
But the concept is good, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So we have the first is the Kodak moment where you just describe what they're doing.
You bet.
The second is the Polaroid moment where you describe what they're doing and add what that shows about them.
Yeah.
And we discussed a little bit before the podcast. I'm like, I don't quite understand the Polaroid metaphor. This is I'm a former high school English teacher. So I'm like, what does a Polaroid have to do with the behavior attached to?
I love it.
And you were like,
I don't know.
Totally explain that metaphor to you. Other than that, they're all camera images going back to what you see, right?
No, I was going to call you out on that too. It's funny that you just said that. I was going to say, hey, for your listening audience, Rachel's like super cool because nobody's pointed that out before to me. And I don't want to be that, you know, old man who's like, that's just the way it is, Rachel, move on. You know, I was like, huh, that's a good point because they're all cameras. And in my mind, it was like, that was as deep as it got for me. You know?
Right. Whereas I'm thinking like, how do we further this metaphor? Like, what does a Polaroid have to do with anything? So you don't even really need to think about the Polaroid imagery. Other than that, it's just another way to take a snapshot of what's going on with your kids praise them for it.
Okay, so, we got two more, right?
Yeah, we have two more.
Here comes the Canon moment. The Canon moment.
Canon camera, right?
Yeah, although I don't know the depth of that.
Or it could be a Nikon camera or a Nikon moment.
All right, now you're just kind of getting crazy.
Okay, tell us about the canon moment. What's
this
that?
One's really cool too. This one, again, this is one of the ones where I feel like then at this point your kids are like, okay, what did somebody do with my real mom and dad? Because this is, it's proactive recognition. Canon moments are the, you know, your daughter walks by your son and you say to your son, hey, Johnny, I noticed that you didn't smack Sally as she walked by. You know, that's awesome. You know, I mean, it's basically, you know, or even noticing that I noticed that, you know, your sister just stepped on your whatever. And normally you've gotten pretty angry with that. And man, I'm just really proud of you for not reacting to that. That takes a lot of, self-control, and looks like you've got it.
Yeah.
And so where the kid doesn't even know they didn't do something. I mean, they're like, oh, if I would have thought about hitting her, I would have done it, you know? But so you're kind of calling out that, you're just proactively recognizing something that you're grateful that didn't happen.
Right. And I do love that in the context of recognizing when they control themselves, you know, like, yeah. I'm like, when they don't lash out, when you know that they wanted to, or when they choose to be honest, when you know it was hard, when they,
yeah.
You know, it's just saying like, I'm so grateful that you didn't tell a lie there, even though that happened, like that you made that mistake. You didn't lie.
That's
about
a great
it.
One.
And yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So there, I mean, it's kind of that, this one's just totally filled with empowerment because they're given credit for positive choices they made. And it's even if that wasn't part of their decision-making process. And so again, we are fueling positivity, and it's really starting to develop. They call it in the Nurtured Heart. I was drawing a blank on this phrase a bit ago, but it's inner wealth. So when we know that we're getting this recognition and it's not hollow, oh, I was going to point this out a minute ago. So now you can maybe see a little bit more of why the phrase good job is better than, I guess, yelling at somebody. But good job now. And I apologize to everybody who's hearing this now. You're going to hear that phrase so much. Mm. Just good job. And it's always, it's typically said with just a glance or a, hey, good job, buddy. You know, and you'll start to even notice that the kid doesn't even stop and that doesn't mean anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the big epiphanies for me, which I think is, I don't know, it was just nice to start to point out these really positive things in my kids.
Mm. And then what's our fourth?
It's called creative recognition. And this one doesn't have a camera attached to it, I'm afraid. So, we can make one up. Maybe this is the Nikon one, right?
Yes, let's do that.
Okay. So creative recognition is you are creating success that might not otherwise exist. And I've got a couple of examples, but I had an opportunity to speak at a church in my area. And there was a pastor who was doing almost like an interview. And he did a deep dive and he found a video he said on YouTube that I thought gave such a great example of this, where there was a teacher and they said, I think he literally said, because I couldn't stop my ADD brain when he said this, but the teacher said, hey, what does the fox say, you know, or something like that. And then I'm thinking of that dumb song from a few years ago. But the point was the kid just froze. He wasn't going to say anything. He's so used to not, you know, participating. And this was in one of these school districts where all the teachers have been trained in Nurtured Heart. And so kid's not saying a word and 8 other people have their hand raised. And so the teacher looks over at another student, and just says, hey, Sarah, do you think you can help, you know, Steve and be part of his team and help him answer this question? And she says, whatever the fox says. And then the teacher says, you know, hey, Steve, thanks for letting Sarah kind of be a part of your team and answer that question for you. It sounds you guys got the answer right or whatever. I think it's another one where the kid just is sitting there thinking, I didn't say a word and I just got praised, you know. Again, what just happened? I'm used to not saying a word, nobody paying attention and moving on. And I think in that example, you know, then it was like, okay, do you think the two of you now can come up with whatever's next? And of course, Steve goes on to do it and becomes captain of the football team and lives happily ever after.
Of course.
I don't think that part is true, right? but I mean, I love that. So it's, you know, it's creating success that might not otherwise exist. And so a lot of times what's more practical is, creative recognitions, they kind of hijack kids into success, leading them to you and praising all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
And I've heard you say in your podcast the example of like, hurry, you say to a child, hurry, I need you to finish up eating so we can go. And they just sit there and look at you, but they're continuing to chew.
Yes,
and you're like, thanks for continuing to eat so that we can go. I appreciate that, or whatever. And you're like, really, they were probably thinking about defying you, but you kind of interrupted it by praising them for something that you pretended almost like you're pretending like they're moving in the direction you want them to move, and you praise them for that. And then they're like, oh, okay, I guess I'll do it. You know?
Yeah. I've got a daughter who probably won't ever hear my podcast, but so I'll go with this one, right? But just won't ever put her shoes on. And I remember, I've got all teenagers and a 20-year-old. So this isn't like, you know, the 4 or 5-year-old that refuses. She's just not going to put her shoes on. And I feel like that is a little bit of a, you know, I'll show you guys. And then, but now it's like, okay, carrying shoes barefoot into the car. And that's one of those where I'm all the time saying, I'm like, man, I love when fill in the blank name, you know, I love like her style. She's coming out barefoot. She's going to put those shoes on in the car. And, you know, and I almost like sometimes the kid's like, ah, man, I can't win with my defiant behavior.
Yeah.
So I might as well just kind of go along with what the old man's asking.
I love that. Well, this has been really helpful, I think, to have just sort of like these scripts or these templates of somewhere to start with positive encouragement for our kids, whether or not they even really, quote, deserve it. It's, you know, this recognition or acknowledgement of what they're doing. So can you quickly tell us those four types again as a recap?
You bet. Yeah. So the first one's active recognition, these Kodak moments, just acknowledgement, just, hey, I noticed you're doing this. The second one is this experiential recognition or these Polaroid moments. And those, that's when you really start to get into the meat of, you know, hey, you looked like you were pretty angry, but you kept doing, you know, your homework. And that just shows me that you're really committed to becoming a well-rounded individual and a productive member of society. Or so you're, you know, you're kind of fueling that success.
And you definitely use all of that with a 6-year-old. Well-rounded member of society. That's going to mean a lot to them.
Exactly. Take that script. That one is for the young children. Exactly. And then the proactive recognition, the Canon moments. That one's a fun one too. So that one's, you know, that's one where it's like, I noticed you didn't hit your sister and I'm really grateful for that because that shows your restraint. And again, productive member of society kind of comment, and where he was like, oh, dang it, I missed an opportunity to hit my sister, but I just got praised for not hitting her. So, all right, that feels a little better. So maybe I won't hit her in the long run. And then the last one, the creative recognition is hey, thanks for continuing to chew, you know?
Yes.
That one, which is, you're driving the behavior, kind of hijacking success. Mm. That's that.
I love that. And these, they are a little hard to remember and to remember how to do them. So there is a great handout that the Nurtured Heart Approach has put out that Tony was referring to. We are going to link to that in the show notes. So you can find that and print it out, keep it there. And I really do think the idea of writing down some key phrases and keeping them like on your refrigerator or somewhere visible is a great one as we learn and get in the habit of speaking this way to our children.
You bet.
So Tony, tell us a little bit more about if they want to find more of your work, where they can find you and what you offer.
You bet. So go to tonyoverbay.com. And there I have a link to my podcast, The Virtual Couch, or you can find that on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And I've got an online program for recovery from pornography addiction and compulsive sexual behavior called The Path Back. And then I'm encouraging people right now, if you're interested, on my homepage, if you just sign up to find out about some, I'm about to release a program on couples communication and actually one here on parenting with the Nurtured Heart Approach and a couple other things too. So I'll get some more information out to you there. So I think that's about it.
Well, we're so grateful to have someone so knowledgeable professionally, as well as I have had some requests from listeners. Like, we want to hear from parents that are, you know, a little further along the journey who have that insight that can, you know, look back and tell us what to do. So I'm grateful to have you on with your experience with older kids. And I'm really excited. I think we're going to have you on for a second episode about how to get your teenagers to talk to you. So So we'll be looking forward to that as well. So thank you, Tony, so much.
Thank you, Rachel. It was a blast.
Tony was so much fun to interview. I love people that are so smart and knowledgeable, but don't take themselves or life too seriously. I loved getting some good laughs during that episode. Now, are you going to be able to remember the four ways to praise your children? I sat down and kind of boiled it down to the way that I'm going to remember it. So the four ways are, first, praise what you see them doing. Second, praise what you see them doing plus what it shows about them and their personality or their characteristics. Third is praise what you don't see them doing, like not hitting. And fourth, to praise what you want to see them doing and pretend like they're already doing it. I feel like those four types of praise might revolutionize our home, and I'm hopeful because since recording that interview with Tony, I've been trying these tactics out on my kids, and I have seen a definite shift towards more positivity in the way that I talk to them, which is so encouraging. So you guys, this week, you may not talk like a Disney princess, but I hope that you really have such a good week using encouraging words, positive words with your family.